Gevaldik. Let's dive into the closing sif, or to be more precise, let's dive back into the closing sif of Hilchos Bas Bechalav, and one which has practical relevance and also will allow us, in the way often of many Hadrons, to tie together a number of different siman that we've learned over the last couple of months. So we have a Gemara in Pesachim, we have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, both of which seem to be dealing with the same or similar issue. The Gemara in Pesachim ends with a line about the specific topic of Siman Tzai Zayin, namely Milchik of Leishigwa. The Gemara says at the very end of the Pesachim Sugya in Vav and Beis, before the Mishnah,
first of all, I
need
to know if I'm not sure if you carry that far.
Pascha, Afar, Mitzli, Batanur, Asr, if you have Rav Kahana, Breder of Chinim, Asavu, or the later Amaram, it sounds like, quoted a Brisa, that bread that's been baked with in the same oven as roasting meat, so it's a fleshic bread and you can't eat it with milchitosis. Already in the earlier sugya, early back on Daf Lamed, Tosad raised a problem that this our siman opens with the din that the Gzeir Drabbanan that appears in several places in Shas, that milchitosis bread or fleshic bread is asr lagamer. Welcome. You're invited to stay if you like. Absolutely. So Tosaf raised an interesting point that we'll return back to. Tosaf said, look, usually there's a Gzeir Drabbanan against milk and bread, flesh, grain, even to eat it parah. Shema, you'll come to eat it with the wrong type of food. So Chazal Midrabanan forbade milk or flesh or bread. Here we're not saying that. Here we're saying if you have the bread that you bake with in the same oven as open grilling meat, so it's no longer parah. It's flesh, but it's kosher. So that's curious. The Tosa said, look, maybe here Chazal didn't impose the Gzeir because there's less time. So that's interesting. We'll return to that. But this is sort of the coda on a larger sugi here. But what do you do when you have different things roasting or grilling or baking in the same oven? The Gemara had opened on top, the very last word or two of Ein Vavim Aleph, Machlokas Rav and Levi, what do you do when you have two sides of meat that are grilling in the same oven? One is kosher and one is treif. Besar Shluta, Besar Nevelam. So Rav says Asr, Levi says Mutter, Rav says Asr, Recha Milsa. Levi says Mutter, Recha La Milsa. That's not exactly the language of the Gemara. Rav says it's Asr because they're Mefatmi Mehadadi. They're going to, the fat of one will be shared through the vapors of the other. And Levi says, no, we ignore it because Recha La Milsa. It's merely scent, and the scent is not substantive, the scent is not significant. And the Gemara, over the course of the Amud, points out that we have Mishnayos in the 10th parak of Trumas. 10th parak of Trumas is the 10th parak about Nesinos Tamim Taruvos. Mishnayos seem to have Machlokas HaTanaim about whether we're concerned with, let's say, the warm bread absorbing the flavor of Truma wine. Would I say that now that bread can only be eaten by Kohanim because it's absorbed the flavor, the reyach of the Truma? So the Gemara says, how does that relate to the Machlokas Rav and Levi? We seem to have Machlokas Rav and Levi, whether the reyach matters or not. And here's the Machlokas HaTanam. So the Gemara had said on Ayin Vav Amud Beis,
if the Ashim was they gave the animal to the
human, that there definitely are Tanaim who hold that Reach matters. That's clear in the Mishnah. So Levi will have to admit that he's taking sides of Machlokas HaTanaim. Rav might say, no. Everyone agrees in principle that Reach Milsa, it's a question of the details. Meat versus bread, it's not the same degree of flavor. So Rav will say, everyone agrees in principle, Reicha Milsa. The question is, how far, when does it apply? A question of details. And then the Gemara ends with two Amorah making a statement, one which we mentioned before, until we open, that they seem to assume that there is a problem with that. If Kahana Bredochina Sava says that the bread in the oven with the meat is now a flacid bread, and then Ravin Parzakia is worried about a similar case with fish. You're grilling fish and meat in the same oven. Remember, as like you said, you can't have that fish with a milchuk sauce. Mar Bar Rashi says, I don't think you should eat it at all. I think there's a health concern. So that this is the source of the idea of trying to avoid fish and meat. So these Amaraim appear to be, number one, the Gemara already said, Machlokas Rav and Levi, all the Tanam could agree with Rav, but Levi will have to admit that there was some Tanam against him. At least some Tanam hold Recha Milsa. And we have these two Amaraim at the end of the Sugya that seem to say Recha Milsa. So that leads Tosfos here to say that Ben and Tam said, we pass like Rav. Seems pretty, it's a pretty clear flow of the Sugya. We keep saying, Machlokas Rav and Levi. We have the Tanam seem to line up with Rav the Recha Milsa, that's a problem. The meat, the kosher meat, trade meat in the same oven. The Leir Amaram seem to think it's a problem. So Tosa says, I think it's an open and shut case. Rashi, though, quotes, that was not the traditional psak. That was a Chiddush of Enotam. Enotam said, look at this, again, psakim, we're done. But Rashi quotes that the old approach, he quotes both Gaonim and earlier Kadmonim of Ashkenaz, who said, no, we should pass them like Levi. The meat is fine. You grilled kosher meat and treif meat in the same oven. It's fine. How does he know? He says, because I have a sugya of Avodah Zarah. It's true that sugya here sounds like it's tilting against Levi. Okay, it's a machlokas. He says, I don't know. Did anyone tell you what the rule should be? Are you paskin a machlokas Levi versus Rav Kahana Breid Rav Chinna Sava? I don't have any necessarily any rule about that. One could argue they do. Could argue Hilchos is a Kabasra. Levi is from the early Amoraim. These are from the late Amoraim. But Rashi says a rule that we know well is that Abai and Rav we paskin like Rav, except in the six cases are called Yalchagam. And he says, look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The other sugya of Recha Milsa. I think this is where we left off last time. We have two gemaras to talk about Recha Milsa. We have this gemara in Psachim. Rav says Reach matters. Levi says Reach doesn't matter. In the context of two pieces of meat grilled in the same oven, we have a sugya in Avodah Zarah, Samach Vav and Beis, that also has a machlokas about Recha Milsa, Recha Rav Milsa. That's a machlokas Rava and Abaye. And there Rava says Mutter. Rava says Recha Rav Milsa. So it's very nice that the Rashi says it's very nice that the Sugya Psachim seems to favor Rav, who says Recha Milsa, but the Machlok is Abayin Rav and Psachim and Avodah Zarah. And we know Abayin Rav and Pasan like Rava. So Rashi says that's why I am make like Levi, because Levi several generations later, the Machlok of Rav and Levi was Machlok as Abayin Rav. And we know he passed like Rava. Some of you passing like Levi. What was the case there? There was a case of breathing the Gemara, begun with a case of Bastia. I have a barrel of tray for wine. Jewish wine expert, he's not going to drink the wine. The wine is tray. It's ain't akum. He's just going to breathe in the scent of it. Just going to breathe in the reah. So is that a problem? They hired him. Or he's volunteering to make sure the wine hasn't gone bad. They want him to smell the wine. Can he smell the wine? He's going to waft it. He's going to sniff it through some sort of tube. So there the Gemara says, Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa, and it's a Machlok is Rav and Abaye. And the Gemara and the Shema Tomer, they're unrelated cases, just the same terminology, but it's not really the same thing. The problem is the Gemara in both places quotes the Mishnayos and Shulos. So it seems to be this is a lot. So this is a machlokas. So again, you have machlokas Rav and Levi in Tzachim, machlokas Abai and Rava in Avodah Zarah, and we seem to have machlokas Rashi and Tosfos on a pasuk. So Rashi says, I know I pass like Rav against Abaye. So if I pass like Rav, Rav is equivalent to Levi. It's different names in the different Gemaras, but it's all the same thing. So Rabbeinu Tam has to somehow explain Rabbi Tam is not ready to say I pass against Rava. They could have. One could have imagined saying, look, the Sugim Sachim is so clear. Okay, we pass like a buy. But Rabbi Tam is not ready to say that, probably because then there should have been a resh. Should have been Yal Rikigam. Something like that. Okay, yeah, it's fine to pass like a buy occasionally, but should be in the, we have a list. So Rabbi Tam is not ready to say that we pass that Mikoch the Sugim Sachim we pass like a buy in a Vodazar. So instead he has to say the long Tosis, but the primary upshot of the Tosis here is the Tosis in Pesachim is brief. Tosis in Pesachim just says you're passing like rap. And Rava might agree with Rava. Doesn't explain how. The long Tosis in Avodah Zarah, who essentially says there are different types of cases. That was exactly the point that the Gemara had made, that Lefi Rav, you know, the Mishnayos about the bread and the wine aren't necessarily relevant to the meat, because the meat is a much stronger flavor, a much stronger rav. He says, so that's the answer, Tosa says. That's the answer. It's a very different type of scenario. So maybe sometimes, so that's why Rabbeinu Tam says fundamentally reicha milsa, certainly by meat. There'll be some other cases where the reich is softer. So that's when Abai and Rava are arguing. Abai and Rava are arguing, Rabbeinu Tam says, unlike Rashi and the Gaonim, who said that the Abai and Rava and Rava Levi are just the same machlokas, Tosas says, no. We paskin like Rav. Abai and Rava are arguing within Rav, who said that fundamentally, Reicha Milsa, now let's figure out how far do we take it. So that's the machlokas harishonim. It's a halacha lamaisa. If you grill a piece of kosher meat, a piece of trefa meat in the same oven, there's a machlokas Rav and Levi, and some machlokas Rashi and Tosfos Pasta. Rashi would make it like Levi, and Tam would be machmir like Rav. So where does this land? So if you open Bas B'chala, if you open Siman Sari Zayin Siv Gimel, so what impression do you get? Pas Sha'afa Matzli, Shulchan Aruch says, Dagum Shetzalam B'tan Arecha, Im HaBasar Asar La'acham B'chala. You can't eat them with milk. There you go. It's not their problem. You can't eat them with milk. So how? What does that sound like? Who are we passing like? Right? Passing like Rav. That means which Rishon are we following? Tosas. We're the top. But here is that. But the Shah tells you not so fast. The Shah says Zivka and Dalit. I don't understand. If I were to look in the primary address of the Sugya of Reicha is not this one sip in Pasuk Chalav. The primary address is the Siman. The primary topic of Siman Kuf Ches in Taruvis is Reicha. So he says Shach says Zivka and Dalit. Avakav Gil Kamen Reish Siman Kuf Ches Mitzalu Baser Ksherim Baser Bsar Nevei Batan Arechad. Afilu katan, muter b'di'evet. Wow. Right, and there we're mekel, like Rashi Levi. So an often astira. So the Shach says very briefly. He says, "You look there, you'll understand more." But the short answer, again, the stira, over here we say the bread did become fleshed. Over there we said the meat stays kosher. So what's the answer? Says the answer is. The answer is that if you look in the Haggadah's Ashri, in the back of Avodah Zarah, you look in the Rosh Siman Hey, Perikei Siman Ches, Haggadah's Ashri quotes Or Zeruah, Halacha Lamaisa, we split the psalm. Halacha Lamaisa, Bechatchila, it's a problem, B'dyevah is not. Recha Milsa, Recha La Milsa, Bechatchila, Recha Milsa. B'dyevah, Recha La Milsa.
Would the Shach have to say that based on the Shulchan in Kafkas? Like, because the Shulchan in Kafkas, he has to explain the Shulchan here as.
Correct.
And B'dyevah, like a Chila case, because, or else, it's a steer on the Shulchan.
Correct. Right, right. It happens to be the right. Take a look there. The Rama says that anyhow, and that's quoting the Hagos Har Shem Ozeruah. Right, and what the Shach is pointing out exactly. That's what he says here. Kevin, it's true that we paskin mutter b'dieved, but this is not b'dieved. Hacha kevin de'afshal achal b'lochal havi kilachatila. B'dieved, and this is a point that we've come across several times over the last couple of chavuras. How do you define lechatchila and b'dieved? So literally, lechatchila means before the act, and b'dieved means bisha asa, after the act. So literally, and the way to use the simon kochaz is if I ask you, you know, I'm running out of space, you know, it's very tight in the kitchen, can I put both things in the oven at the same time? The answer is no, you're not allowed to do it. But if the question is, I already did it, can I eat it? The answer is yes, you can. So that's literally the chatchila b'dieved. Before the action, should I do this action? No. I did the action, what are the consequences? That's b'dieved. But the Shachar's point, guys, this is a point that we've seen several times over the last couple of Pedro Shulchan Aruch, is sometimes some events have already occurred, but I still call it a chatchila. So that's what he's saying here. You already grilled the, you already baked the bread in the same oven as the open flage, but I don't say, oh, but yeah, it was already baked, so treat it as parv. No, because you still have options. You have the option to eat it at a flashic meal. Who's telling you to? So don't butter your bread. Okay. So have this, use this bread for a deli sandwich. That's still a chatchila. If it's bizarre nevela, bizarre shchuta, so what are my options? I have no options. It's either kosher or trade. The option, only option is going to be thrown out or sell to the non-kosher market. So that's a true b'dieved, just like we had seen previously, let's see, in terms of... we had seen a couple weeks ago, aim of atzlan in anything in Simon Sariva. Like the aim of atzlan isra chatchila, so I'm not allowed to... It's us or probably midrabanan for me to actively engage in doing bittul. I'm not allowed to throw a little bit of tarfus into a big pot of kosher. If it fell in, and there's a bit of bashishim, or there's no nisiyos tam, you know, via the kfeila, so it's fine. But I'm not allowed, it's an iser, it's a maisa iser for me to go ahead and choose to do bittul. So that's what the post gonna point out. Even if bittul is already done, so if I have food, I have a pot of food that I own, a little bit of tarfus fell in, so that's b'dieved. Because either I'm going to keep the food, I'm not going to keep the food. But if I'm going shopping, so if the only option is something that relies on bittul, the only way to get this food item is something that relies on bittul, isn't it? So then that's someone else did the bittul. The Nachri did the bittul in manufacturing, so that's not a problem. But if they sell two versions of two brands of the same item, one relies on bittul, one doesn't, or one relies on enu ben yomo and one doesn't. I have access to the food made in a kosher kli, or the same food made in a tray for enu ben yomo kli. So that's considered lechatchila. It's only when the only option, I already own the food and it got mixed up with enu ben yomo. That's what's going on here too. It's Shach is saying the same svar. In this case, even though it was already baked in the oven with the fleishiks, but it's still chatchila because I have the opportunity to choose to eat it with parv or with fleishik rather than with milchik. And that, by the way, is also perhaps part of another solution to the question with which we began, which was Tosas's kasha and Daf and Daf Lamed, and how come on Daf Ayin Vav we're just saying don't eat it with milchik? Why is it don't eat it at all? It's treif. It's leisha bread. So it's treif from Rabbanan. So what the Haggadah actually appears to be saying is that maybe the answer is that here it's only based on Recha. And therefore what? Not just, oh, it's a weaker Tom and therefore Chazal never posed exactly right. No. I mean, Recha is only Aser, Lechatchila is not Aser B'dieved. So to say throw the bread out, that would be B'dieved. In other words, what she seems to be indicating is a part of how Abeinu Tam could fit Excuse me, part of the way. Maybe part of the way that Rashi fits, or one could adopt Shita's Rashi and still work with the end of the Gemara. The way you do with Hilchos HaKabbasra. So the answer might be that the Amoraim at the end of the sugya aren't saying Reicha Milsa B'Dievet. They're only saying Reicha Milsa L'Chatchila. All they're saying is, you have this bread, you have this fish, you baked it in the oven with the fleishik, so don't go ahead and eat it with milchik. That's only L'Chatchila. That's not a B'Dievet situation. So in terms of Rabbi Yonatan says, you have to pass in like Rav, because after all, number one, even more than the fact that more Tanam line up with Rav, is Maskana, the Maskana of the Sugya. The answer is Maskana of the Sugya doesn't make it clear that Reicha Milsa B'Dievet. Maskana of the Sugya makes it clear Reicha Milsa Chatchila.
It still seems, according to Rashi, it would be okay even L'Chatchila.
True.
So, you could say that Rashi could fit into the end of the Gemara. The end of the Gemara is only a Chatchila piece, but...
Right. That's what I'm saying. You could at least work with a piece of Rashi. Because the question is, do we show him who are the later Chachmi Ashkenaz, who are saying, well, the Chatchila to Pram B'Dev is not a problem, that may be saying... Mikra didn't we hold like Rashi, but we want to be Mashmal Machmal like Rav Tam L'Chatchila, or it's saying that's what we think the Amoraim themselves were saying.
Right.
Now, so that certainly is true L'Halacha. That's clear in Kof Ches, and that's clear in the Shach over here in Tzadi Zayin, that we're concerned about Reicha L'Chatchila B'Nap B'Diyam. What does that mean practically in terms of ovens? So now, number one, Tosus starts raising this issue, which is mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Wait, maybe the difference between a Tanur Gadol and a Tanur Katan, a very large oven. It sounds like talking about a tremendously large oven. Machzik Shnei Masar Esronim. Enough to hold 12 Esronim. This is an interesting shear. Esaron is a biblical shir. But as the Shach reminds you, you know, you heard of an Isaron? The Torah says, V'ha'omer asir sa'efan. The closing pasuk in the parasha of Mon. The Omer is a tenth of an Eifa, otherwise known as an Isaron. And the Omer is relevant l'halacha because the shir of Chala is nilmad from the amount of Mon that fell every day. There may be a lot of Hashkafic solutions to that, in terms of the parallels we're drawing between the challah reminds us that our lechem and haaretz really parallels the lechem and hashamayim, but leaving that aside, so Shach reminds us, the last Shach here, Esronim, Kol Yisaron is a shir challah, 43 and a fifth beitzim. So you think about the 3 to 5 pounds of flour, that's an Yisaron. We're talking about an oven big enough to hold 12 Esronim. Now the William Rasha is a machlok. Does that mean you could fit it across the floor of the oven? I could fit such a large, flat, like pita, enormous hyper pita, a county fair size lafa, 12 esronim. We're talking 6 to 12 bags of flour. Wow. So the William Rasha points out that. He says, Pashup Shad, it means the floor of the oven. Talking like a some sort of industrial size oven.
I know, but it made it seem like there was such a size oven.
Yeah. So then he quotes, the Chuvas Yad Elio says, Daim Kolach, it's not a shear of the footprint of the oven, to shear the volume of the oven. Kolachalal, the entire inner space of the oven, but Orach Verocha Vigova, all three dimensions. So that's significantly smaller. Right. That already is somewhat smaller. It's not clear that our ovens fit, though, even that shear. A baker's oven would, but a home oven, especially since a number of the Balayatosas want it to be, as the Shulchan Aruch quotes, large and piv pasuach, that it has an open vent. So ours definitely do not vent in quite the same way. Most ovens do have a fan of some sort. They don't necessarily vent in quite the same way as
where does Tosfos get this idea of a larger oven not causing Recha? Like, if Recha is a problem, so where are they coming from? If you're so big, Recha then isn't an issue anymore, so therefore it's like not a problem.
Yeah, where are Tosfos?
There's nothing in the Gemara that makes
Where
are Tosfos
get it from?
To the Recha.
That's a good question. Where are Tosfos get it from? To the Tosfos sound like they're arriving at Misvara. The beginning of their Svara, though, is based on the Gemara. And this comes that Tosfos applies more than once. Namely, the Gemara in Psachim Ayin Vav, in trying to fit the Amoraim with the Tana and the Mishnah, already point out, look, there may be different cases where the Reach is stronger or weaker. It's not necessarily a binary issue. So that's probably what gets, and Tosfos, as we saw, that's how Tosfos, every time wants to fit together passing like Rav, and yet passing like Rav. So that's probably what's driving them here as well. It's not just a question of which food items of meat versus bread versus wine, but also a question of other relevant factors like space and ventilation. So it's not clear that our ovens would qualify as a tan or gadol in the Tosfos sense. So we do assume that in our ovens, So we would say you shouldn't cook milchitz and fleishiks in the same oven. You shouldn't cook milchitz and parv in the same oven. If you did, we'll say okay, recha milsa, treat it as milchitz. You cook milk and flesh in the same oven, kosh and treif. So it sounds like we should say, okay, recha milsa chafi, you shouldn't have done it. Now you did it, it's still kosh. Now, but that's not, the story doesn't end there. If we were just learning Sadi Zayin, that's what we would say. However, and moreover, if we were just learning Siman Sai Zayin, the whole discussion of Reya, not only is it only Chatchila, it's also only what's been constant in all these cases, you have two food items simultaneously in the same oven. How about a situation where I use the oven for Fleishik, but no Fleishik here now. Now I use the oven for Milchik. That sounds all. That's of course mutter. That's not even Recha. That's not even Recha. Recha is only when the two things are the same oven. And yet, ironically, if we dig back earlier to Siman Sadi Beis and Siman Sadi Gimel, there we were talking about flavor in the walls, right? The whole discussion of Reach, it's not about kelim. It's all about food to food directly. You remember Siman Sadi Gimel. It was a very short siman, or one of a number of very important kiddushim in a very tiny siman.
Comes Friday, and the guy says, "How much?"
One of which was in the Ramah, I take a milchig lid, I stick on a fleishig pot. I take a flesh of glitter and I stick it in a milchig pot.
If we have a big visual, you guys need $73. The guy says, okay, what's next?
He's like, it's a problem.
It's a problem. Exactly. Here's the money, give it to them. So, does that work? Can you do that?
Wow. So what's that? That's not even Reichem also. That's not even Reichem also. The flavor goes both ways. So and where does that come from? So the Gra reminds us here. It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah, the Gra says.
Yeah, but
several Mishnahs, as a matter of fact. One Mishnah, you can send it to a Mishnah Machshirin. And there's also a Mishnah in Chulin, Daf Kuvches, of Nir Okisa. You can't put a lid on a pot that causes the steam to build up, and it's going to circulate the flavor all around. Right? Remember, the milk falls on a piece of meat, then you cover it right away. So then you assume now that that's going to cause the milk to spread around evenly because the kisui builds up the steam inside.
Yeah, but that wasn't the case where then the piece of food became fusel makala. This is where you're then going to have the bread, and then can you eat that bread then with milk later on? It's not whether the piece of bread is actually basar b'chala. Whether then that piece of bread is considered meat enough to then have, when you eat it with the, when you butter it later on, will that be then basar b'chala? The other situation was where the meat would then, whatever you're cooking, would become basar b'chala when you're cooking in unsafe oven.
Again?
This case here, our case here now is you have the oven to the bread. Oven has meat in it. You cook meat in it first. Then you take the meat out. Then the bread, you put bread in. You bake the bread. Did that bread become meat? And then, so then, pork, and then, can you eat that bread with your cream cheese later on?
Right.
But the case before was whether, when you have them in the thing, was did the meat become basar b'chala?
Right.
So it's an extra.
Oh, right. Good, good. So Ari's pointing out, hello Davarhu. Right, so what's this? So let's try to organize this. Hello Davarhu. Here in Sai Zion, we're talking about Reich. Sai Zion, Kufchai, talking about Reicha. So Reicha it sounds like a more severe situation, and the din is not so severe. Imamash have two pieces of food in the same space, and still we say, Ma Reicha tamachol kazan rav, tamachol kazan rishonim, lechadchili, you should avoid b'dievet, it's not a problem. And that's even though the foods are directly, they're simultaneously interacting with one another. Here we have an asynchronous situation in Sadi Beis and Sadi Gimel. The milk is a fleisher pot at the same time. I have a lid that used to be on a milk pot, and now I put on a fleisher pot. So maybe there's fleisher soup in the fleisher pot, but there's no milk here right now. And yet, here, even though you don't have two foods present simultaneously, in other words, here I am worried about the bleus in the kli, not just the actual food. And as you point out, here I'm saying aser b'dieved. Even though lechora the case is less severe, it's not a direct reicha food to food. It's only a question of bleus. And yet, my halachic response is far more severe. I'm saying aser b'dieved. Right? Whereas as you're saying reicha, I didn't say aser b'dieved. So what's going on? What's going on? So the answer is, there's a difference between Zeya and Reicha. The answer is that that there you have in Siman Sadi Gimel you have steam. And the steam, sure. The steam is a vector of flavor. The idea of Nira Okisa, and we're going back to the source of this, which is the Mishnah Kuvches, the Mishnah Tipas Chalav, Kulin Kuvches. Stirring the pot or shutting it with a lid and allowing the steam to build up are considered to be equivalent. Just like if a drop of milk falls onto a meatball and then immediately the meatball gets tossed into the gravy, so that's going to mix the flavor around right away. Putting a lid on so that the pot fills up with steam is the equivalent of throwing into liquid. Because we see that steam as a vaporous equivalent of liquid. Even though it's not actual liquid, but it has the same status. So that's why it's a problem even b'dieved. That's why it's a problem even if it's just a question of kalim, because reicha isn't the equivalent of liquid splashing out of the meat. Zeya is. If you have steam, so that's going to act. That steam has the status of the item itself. That also came up not only Siman Sadi Gimel. They also came with Siman Sadi Beis. Siman Sadi Beis of Ches was a scenario where you have meat hanging above the stovetop, and you heat a machava shel chalav and an open pan of milk.
Seems that really all that matters about whether how much of a liquid component is in the food.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the point.
If there's no liquid component, the amount of steam is going to be very minimal.
Correct. Correct.
So that's why.
Exactly.
So it all depends on how much liquid was
correct.
In the food. That was
correct.
Uncovered.
Oh, good, 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 good. Take a look at Siman Sadi Beis Sifchas. Machav shel chalav shenasanu b'kira tachas k'deir shel basar. I have a pan of milk. And there's a pot of meat up above. Hazeya ol v'nivla b'kdeva osrata. That's a problem. The steam coming off of the the milchic saucepan, the milky vapor is going to go up, hit the pot of fleshiks, and that's going to be a problem. So we have to start thinking about what's it called. We have to start thinking about shishim. We have to start thinking about how hot is, how much of a height difference is there. If it's high enough that by the time the vapor hits the meat or the meat pot, it's no longer Yad Saletas Bo, so then it's not going to cause a bleed. If it's still Yad Saletas Bo, it's the equivalent of milk, actual hot milk, spritzing up at the meat or at the fleshik pot. So that sounds like the same issue as the Zeya. Sounds like the same issue as the Zeya. And that's what the Biragra points out. No, that's near Vakisa. That's that Mishnah. That there's an equivalence between something falling into liquid and something being bathed in steam. Hehevel mispashik bekulo ukiilu kulo basocharotev. He says it's also there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in the second paragraph of Machshirin that make the same point. Okay, so as you said, and that's where Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva, says it depends. You're dealing with something dry, you're dealing with something with some degree of moisture. There's enough moisture that you may have some steam. So then, then it's more than merely reicha. Kolma, I'm dealing with dry items. Maybe they're fatty, but they're dry. So then I'm dealing with reicha, which means it's only a concern if both foods are present at the same time, and it's only going to create a l'chatchila issue, not a b'diavad issue. Once I'm dealing with steam, so then it's going to be a problem even b'diavad, and then it's going to be a problem even in terms of blia b'kelim. So where does that leave me? Where does that leave me, lamasa? So it sounds like we're saying that if I'm dealing with is totally dry, it sounds like we're saying like this. If the foods I'm dealing with are totally dry, so I'm not allowed to put in two different items in the oven at the same time. Reicha milsa l'chatchila. But bezech or zeh, if the oven is thoroughly clean, if I have drippings or chunks from the first one, crumbs from the first one, and I'm putting the second one, vayta is going to be a l'chatchila problem, reicha milsa l'chatchila. But if I know if the oven is thoroughly cleaned, I think the post can say, and it cooled down since you used it for the first food. So then if I'm putting a dry food, so then I should say, look, there's no prana reach, and there's no zeya, because there's zero steam. Okay.
What about like cheese? Like, would cheese be considered?
Yeah. So the problem
would
is
be considered a liquid, because it melts, or would cheese be considered?
So that's where it gets dicey. Is how are you going to be koveya? How much liquid do you need to? If you had done it with foil and you take off the foil, I make a baked ziti with ziti and cheese and sauce. So I might say if you bake it covered, when you peel away the foil, there is some steam.
But it's covered.
Right. No. So if it's covered, and that's what the right. that's what the Gemara itself talks about. If it's ke'en kedera and ke'en shtei kedera, if it's sealed, it's not a problem. That's for sure. So I have, even if I have a dirty, messy fleshik oven,
right?
So I definitely am not allowed to put milchiks in, even if the milchiks is dry. That's still a reicha milsa chatchila. If I wrap the milchiks, that's not that, for sure. If it's sealed, if one or the other is sealed in the oven, that's definitely not a problem. I'm going to start cheshbonin that my oven is clean, and now the other food that I'm putting in is very dry. I'm convinced there's no steam, so that might be fine as well. But usually we're hesitant to make that call. So that's why the dominant view, I think Moshe Feinstein writes this, and it could be the Dagel Meir Vava, indicates this as well, in Simin Tzai Beis, even if my oven is clean, I wouldn't be comfortable using the oven. But most poskim would assume that I would not be comfortable using the oven even bezeh chazeh for milchiks and for fleshiks, because if there's zeya. So last time, earlier today, I made my baked ziti, and some of the zeya, the milchik zeya, went up and got absorbed into the oven walls. And then now, 5 hours later, I'm going to make a pot roast. Even if the oven is totally clean, so there's no reich issue, the oven's totally clean, there's no remnants of the milchiks, and I let it cool down. So there's no problem with reich, even the chetchilo. There's no reich. But I'm worried that now I'm going to make a pot roast, and now I'm going to make chicken with the, you know, at the very least the juice of the chicken itself, there's going to be some steam again, and that's going to go up, and that's going to draw down the weiter. It's like using the same pot for milchiks and fleshiks. So that's the standard approach, and that's based on Ramosha, I think, indicated by Doug Mirvava on the side of Shulchan Aruch and the Siman Sadi base of Ches, is, yeah, that's a problem. When you have Zeya, so the Zeya will be Mavliya, the flavor, into the pot, and the Zeya can pull the flavor into the oven walls, out of the oven walls. So Lamasa, what we would usually recommend is you're going to decide where your oven is going to be, and let's say the oven is fleishiks. Whenever you do milchiks, you'll wrap it. You'll seal it. There is an opinion.
But if you wait ben yomo, you're fine.
You wait ben yomo. Why?
Doesn't Ramosha say that if it's only an issue of when? I mean, if it's eino ben yomo, it's fine, right? It's only ben yomo is a problem.
He says that even lechatchila. Yeah, that's in terms of making a treif, I thought, no? He does say at the end that he thinks there's no issue of zeya if you're baking. If I'm baking, if it's afia, so then he's not worried about zeya. He's only worried about zeya when you have something that has some degree of liquid, bishul, and it's uncovered. And he also says if you had an oven where the heat source was in the roof of the oven, or seen anything like that. So then it's gonna.
Then
the Zay is never gonna make it to the top.
The heat source on the top, then it's not a problem. Yeah. It burns it up. And
now Rav Schechter points out, what I presented up until now, I believe, is Rabbi Neuberger's approach. And he would say also the same is true for microwaves. So he pointed out, even though in theory some microwave manufacturers would claim that the steam doesn't get, the walls of the microwave are, according to some manufacturers, the walls of the microwave are supposed to never get hot. The food will get hot, the walls of the microwave stay cold. Were that to be true, so then you might make the argument that the microwave walls are never below anything. Lamaisa doesn't seem to be the case. The steam will sometimes heat up the oven walls above Yatza Lettuce. If anything, in a microwave oven, there's more of a concern of Zeya. You have a very small space, and often there is easier to get that sort of buildup. So Rabbi Schechter is of the opinion, based on a couple of comments of the Darkei Tshuva, I believe that the two I put the Maror Makomos, Siman Sadi Beis Sif Katan Kuf Samach Gimel, and Simon Kuf Hei, Sifkat and Kuf, I think these are at least among the comments of the Darkei Tshuva that build this idea. Now, Schechter understands that there are actually three separate concepts at play. There's Recha, and then there's Zeya, and there's Hevel. Now, there's beyond, when you're dealing with steam, you would differentiate between really thick steam and something thinner. In other words, In Siman Sadi Gimel with a lid on the pot, there it's clear that's bidirectional. That's explicit. That the flavor goes, that if I put a milchig ben yomo lid on a fleshik pot of soup, my mom says everything is treif. Side the lid, the lid became, was balea fleshik, and the soup and the fleshik pot were balea, drew out the milchik flavor from the lid. But that might only be based on a couple of comments of the Darkei Tshuva, the notion that the steam is bidirectional, that it can actually draw flavor out of the kli, out of the lid. That's perhaps only when you're dealing with hevel, which is almost like a thick, thick steam, the type that you would have in inside a pot with a lid. Whereas, let's say, Simen Sadi Beis Sifches, the Machava Shalchalav, the other Shulchan Aruch is only talking about one directional. It's just saying the milcha goes up and it's going to be nivla into the fleshik pot, or it could be nivla into the meat that's drying up on top. But we've never heard that there, that it then comes down. The Noid Yehud on the side, Doug Meir Vava, he says, oh yeah, and then the milchik flavor, that Zeya also draws it back down from the fleshiks back down into the milchik pot. So, but the Darkei Tshuva doesn't seem to understand that. So that's significant, because that's our Rav Shechter's approach, is to say that you're going to have Zeya in an oven, but you're not going to have Hevel in an oven. Hevel you're going to have inside a pot. Not much like thick, like pea soup, thick Hevel that's bidirectional, that you're not going to have in an oven. So that's why he's of the assumption that with enough conditions in place, you can use the same oven non-simultaneously for milchiks and for fleshiks. How does that work? So number one, you have to keep your oven scrupulously clean, which is that's a significant condition, and you have to let it cool down in between. Because to have milk and fleshiks in the oven at the same time, or even it hasn't yet gone blue out, so let us go in between. So that's at the very least a problem of recha. But if that's off the table, it's totally asynchronous, and there's no splatter of anything. So then all you're dealing with is not no recha. You're dealing with Zeya, but not Hevel. So in other words, if you take the approach of Darkei Tshuva, so the type of steam you have in an oven is only one directional. It's going to be nivla into the oven walls, but it's not going to come back down. So as long as it's asynchronous, your food remains, your milk remains milk, the fleshik remains fleshik, with one additional caveat, which is your oven walls are treif. It's just that there's no vector that's pulling the tarfus out of the oven walls back into your food. So kolzman, there's no hevel, this is just zeya. So kolzman, that your food doesn't touch the oven walls or oven racks, you're fine. The moment anything touches, if you're taking this approach, the moment anything touches a rack or a wall, it's treif. So you always have to be careful with your oven rack, because it's sort of an odd scenario where you're making kosher food in what's conceptually a treif oven. So again, the majority of poskim don't accept this distinction between Zeh and Hevel, and my understanding is that Rabbi Neuberger does not. So that's what, if you don't accept this tripartite distinction, Recha, Zeya, Hevel, so then you say, you know, if Hevel and Zeya are the same, then you're worried, whenever you have steam in an oven, you're worried about it going both ways. So I wouldn't put milchiks in a fleshik oven, because the milchik vapor will pull the fleshik flavor out and make the milchik treif. But if you accept Rav Shechter's approach, so then, if everything cools down and everything is scrupulously clean, and you throw out anything that touches a rack or a wall, so then you could asynchronously use, according to the approach, use the same oven for non-simultaneously for milchik and fleshik. So that, in a nutshell, is the sugya of ovens, and that brings us, not only ties together the end of Bas Mechal with a point deep in Taruvas, but also ties back Simen Sadi Zayin to Simen Sadi Beis and Simen Sadi Gimel. And with it, what emerges is either Sadi Zayin is talking about Recha while Sadi Beis and Sadi Gimel are talking about Zeya, or Sadi Zayin is talking about Recha, Sadi Gimel is talking about Hevel, and Sadi Beis is talking about Zeya. Chavri Ashokayach, Hadra Chalam, Hadra Alach, Hadra Chalam.